Okay, we're going through just an overview, just to finish off what we saw in Parshas Bereishis. And to finish off the year. Last time, the importance, why it is that Briya Yesh Meayin, such a fundamental part of Torah values and Torah thought. Yesh Meayin is what gives us a framework that before the Briya there was absolutely nothing, which means whatever exists in this world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created Yesh Meayin. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, since he's the source of everything, is not meshuvah to anything, no obligations. Our moral sense, our sense of value, comes from a Kodesh Baruch. We cannot, since the Torah is the first thing that Kodesh Baruch Hu made, so Torah is not set up for judgment by anything that was made first, because everything depends on Torah and everything comes from Torah. That's because Yesh Meayin is such an important yesod. That someone who denies, close the window there, respect that people keep it open. That someone who's Machal of Shabbos. Shabbos is the Oz Bris, Bris Hilolo. That is the perpetual and eternal Bris between ourselves and our Baruch. Someone who violates the Shabbos. And not something that we only play lip service to. That means it's not something we remember once in a lifetime. Something that I remember once every week, a very continual basis. We withdraw from all of our creative activity in the world to be made that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything in this world. And even today, everything comes from Him. And someone who's Machal Shabbos means he breaks the bris between our Chai Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch. Once you've broken that bris and the Adayim, you've destroyed the bris, which is based on the fact that Sheishim Ebreishis is the Eidos that we have, and you destroy that Eidos, so then for many purposes you're outside of the pale, you're no longer a member of Chai Yisrael. Point number one, I mentioned Yer Chagav last week, it was a weird thing that even though 7 is a very arbitrary thing, because Baruch Hamas and Aruba said it made in 7, it could have been 6 days, it could have been 8 days, it could have been 10 days, but every culture in the world recognizes the concept of a week and 7 days. Just like almost every culture in the world says there was a flood. The only culture in the world that doesn't have a flood was Egypt. Now that doesn't necessarily prove, they're not necessarily truth. But for someone who denies Sheishim Ebreishis, denies the historicity of Chumash, he's going to have to come up with a good explanation why these facts happen to be true. That's the first. Second of all, the rules for create, the rules that govern nature for, during the first 6 days are different rules than govern the world today. And that's why the whole dating issue is really irrelevant. It's beside the point. Now, human beings, a different Bria. He's, everything else was goof. He's in the three levels in the Shama. Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. The lowest level is that which enables animal life to function, to move, to some sense, the lowest level of consciousness that exists. There are different levels of consciousness. An animal functions with some degree of consciousness, is aware of its surroundings. That's the difference. The three types of parts of the Bria. Yes. Domain, Tzemach, Chai. Matter, vegetable, animal. Domain is sterile. There's no life to it. Tzemach has life, but no consciousness. And Chai has the lowest level of consciousness. And that it also enables it to perform all of its animal functions. It's active. Plants function in a much more automatic way. It's active. It moves. It looks for food. It's active. An animal doesn't look for food. It can extend its roots to get water. It doesn't look for food. There's no awareness of its surroundings. Now, that's the lowest level of neshama, is that which is present in the animal kingdom. There's ruach and neshama. Different levels enable a human being to be intelligent in speech. When he knows from nefesh chai, is ruach mamalova. Means without speech, without language, just react, you can't formulate ideas. All of our ideas are formulated in a language. And human beings given the ability to have language. Speaking means that you can express ideas, you can formulate ideas, you can define ideas. And that's given to a human being with a neshama. Then, that neshama has the potential to do much more. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Adam HaRishon went to Gan Eden, gave him Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and went extra. A human being can't function without limitations. A human being can't function without rules. Without limitations, there's no ability to take his neshama and to build it. Purpose of giving a human being neshama is to have that neshama and to build that neshama during one's lifetime. All the Rishon was put in, and Chava were put into Gan Eden. They gave names to everything. Names means they were able to identify. Adam Rishon was a highly intelligent human being. He understood the entire Bria. He was able to give names. And it's not just an arbitrary thing, giving names. He's able to see why HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed the dog in the world, the cat in the world, the mouse in the world, the spiders in the world, etc. And a name means function. Then, put in Gan Eden. Gan Eden was the place where everything was available. Adam HaRishon, at that point, made a major step, which would influence us all. But he became a Baal Taiva. Taiva became an integral part of his being. And the whole fight that human beings have between the Guf and the Neshama, between Taiva and Ruchnius achievement, is post-chait. That's why. What is the klala? klal is that if a person lives in a world where everything is available to him and he's a bal taiva, he'll ultimately destroy himself. It's the world today. Baruch Hu brought a tremendous shefa bracha to the world, unbelievable shefa bracha. And the world has gone in the direction that was before Mabul Mikol HaShebuchorim. There are no limitations. And society can't function that way, and society ultimately collapses. But here we're talking about one group of issues, Odom Gan Eden, the Taibas Haguf. When we come out of Gan Eden, the first story we have is Hevel and Kayin. What are Hevel and Kayin fighting about? It's a different type of taiva. Hevel and Kayin are fighting. Gemara says, they have the entire world to themselves. So they can split the world. No, you take the northern hemisphere, I take the southern hemisphere. It's the whole world. That's what you have to fight about. Nothing left to fight. So the Gemara has three mandarmen. And all three are true. The question is how to split the world. Even when there's nothing to do, if you have half the world to yourself, you're not going to, in 100 million lifetimes, you won't be able to do everything with it. So, but people want everything. They want everything. They don't want to give up anything. If you value the concept of owning something, you're not going to give up on it. Tell like a person whose life is all about Limudat Torah. Will during his lifetime he understand every Tosas and Shas? Doesn't have the time. Can go through it, but maybe fully understand. I ask him, I want you to take one Tosas and Shas. He'll agree. You're not going to understand. You won't agree. Can't give that because it's too valuable. If you'll tell the richest people in the world, be they Buffett, be they Gates, or whoever they may be, okay, you'll stop at $200 billion. You won't make any more than $200 billion. No. What are you going to do with $200 billion? Whatever you can do with $250 billion, you can do with $200 billion. People want everything. Whatever you value, you want it all. So one man never said, each one wanted the whole world. Another mandala that when Cain and Hevel were born, what did they marry? So they were born with twins. Two women were born at the same time. This mandala says at that point there were three women, and who's going to have two wives? They fought not of the type of having power and control of the world, fought over who's going to have more type of saguf. It's the third mandam. That's the most frightening of all. And that is the thought of who will divide the world. Who's going to have the Beis HaMikdash in his chalak? Sometimes the fight over ruchnias that destroys the world. And sometimes, unfortunately, people fight over who's going to control the ruchnias of the world. And they end up with Ritzicha. Now, Kayin killed Hevel. Medrash asks, where did he learn the concept of death and how to kill? So I have different mandama. There's one mandama who says that Chazal tell us that the day of the Marishim was created, immediately afterwards, he brought a korban, an harabias, and he had to shech the korban. So, Kayin had seen on the mission Shecht HaKarbet. And he used the Derech Avoda to kill Hevel. And as humanity descends, life becomes more difficult. And generation after generation. Ramban says, why does it have to tell us generation after generation? So that we should understand the Torah is an absolutely precise historical document. Number one. Number two, different parts of human behavior are introduced gradually. Even though that Cain was an Oved Adama, Hevel the Roa Tzon, but even the Oved Adama finally became Roa Tzon, it says. The idea that human beings don't live by themselves, they live in communities, that began at the very beginning. Then it says, somebody else. So the world divided between agriculture and taking care of animals. So you have introducing music into the world. That means the clocking, how human civilization developed. It's not that human civilization began in the same format that we have it today. Things developed in human civilization. Then they introduced the Choshes and Barzal, how to deal with metals. Development of human society. And then as human beings developed, Azhu Avodah Zarah came into this world. Azhu Chalikru B'Shemer. What does that mean? Unkla says, they stopped davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Azhu Chaloshim Chulim Heshmo. Rashi Shmos Ha'odim Veshmos Ha'atzavim B'Shmos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why did they stop worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because they began worshiping other natural powers. What is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is the attempt to control all the natural forces by dealing directly with them, not dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world with many different natural forces. And back in the natural forces, there are spiritual entities that run them, but they're dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the top of the pyramid. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses these natural forces, they're like tools in his hand. But he's in absolute hands-on control of everything. So we dive in straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's controlling it. All the spiritual forces that control the natural forces are subject, are not independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're absolute subject to him. But there's a problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us a certain standard of behavior. And if you want to be able to control the natural forces by going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to submit yourself to his standard of behavior. If you want freedom to do what you want, so you try to deal with those natural forces directly. That's what the love of Yisrael was or Hatanam Gila Rise Bafai Hesi. What does that mean? That means people want to just run wild in this world doing what they want. They can't think it's all dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You come up with philosophies and worships and ways of dealing with all sorts of theories to avoid dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That gives you license to what you want. Same way if you... Evolution has a very powerful attraction. A person nothing but an overgrown monkey, an overgrown animal, and everything happened by accident, he can do what he wants. People would like that. It's not Mashabitam to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that happened very quickly. stopped davening the Kodesh Baruch Hu because they began dealing with Avodah Zarah and humanity. So what happens? Humanity just descends further and further. It says, Sefer Toldos Adam. What does that mean? Toldos Adam. Doesn't mean there's a book called Toldos Adam. No, no book. The word Sefer sometimes means book, and sometimes means story. Sefer Krisus. Story of Krisus. Sphere's Dvar. What is the story of a human being? That beyond bro elokim adam, but musa elokim also. There's a whole recent so-called Orthodox Jews who would like to believe in evolution, but they're stuck with the Torah, came up with a recent philosophy. And everything evolved. At one point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted a neshama into this thing that it evolved from the monkeys, whatever. Pasuk says, it's not true. The Yom Bro Elokim Adam, when he made this physical being, made him something that emerged from monkey could not be the carrier of a neshama chelik olkam imal. That's the story of a human being. Our very inception, we are divine beings. And when he made them that Zohar should be Zohar, Zohar Nekeva Brom, Keva should be Nekeva. There's no overlap. So, there is a. Today's Israeli news is a whole. The liberals have gone absolutely crazy. Normally the courts are run by the liberals, but some man who became woman became man, I couldn't figure out the story, what it was. They wanted the insurance companies here to cover the operations. Insurance company says, you don't cover psychiatric disorders. And therefore, it's not included in the policy. And the liberals said, that's not, it's very normal. Man should become woman. No. When he created a human being, he created man, created woman. And that's the way it is. There's no overlap. Very different. Vayikra eshmam odom v'yom hibaram. When he created a human being as a unique creation, he called him Adam. And then there's something unique. Adam Arishan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a physical being and put a neshama into him, and then he reproduces in a physical way, but he created an unbelievable mechanism that Ayolet Bidmuso Batsakat Salmo, the children who come out of him are also spiritual beings. In a physical way, we recreate the spiritual being. Say a separate bracha. A shever bracha. Yotzar on the Bitzalmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed human being, but with the king. And he gave him the ability to reproduce that spiritual being forever and ever. Now, it gives us, just going through everything we've gone through great details. And generation after generation after generation after generation, they lived X amount of years. Machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. All these people living such an extended period of time when we don't anywhere live conceivably next to that. How could such a thing happen? And the Rambam says people live the same amount of time there. Except the leaders of each generation live a very long time. So Ramban said no. The physical world was in a more perfect condition at the very beginning until human beings destroyed the physical world. So when the physical world is in a more perfect manner, he talks about pollution, he talks about there's all sorts of things. People live much longer. As human beings corrupted the physical world, they begin living shorter. Then there's an interesting story. And he worshipped the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Sorry, Ari lo omus, and because of that, Kodesh Baruch Hu did not kill him. So, what does Rashi say? What does that mean? Tzaddik, he was a tzaddik. The Kalba died to Losh of Hashem. Society was in a state of absolute collapse. Each generation is going down and down and down. Life is more difficult. Chanoch was a tzaddik, but he didn't have the ability to stand up to the social pressure of the world around him. Kadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him for his tzidkes, that he died before his time, so that he would not be pulled into the corruption of society. Sometimes Kadosh Baruch has rachmanis people. Many years ago, when I was young, in my 20s at the time, I had a friend of mine who was 2-3 years older than I. He his parents been absolutely most in effort to keep Shabbos in the most difficult times. They brought him up, showed him Shabbos. He didn't have much of a Jewish education. Time before everyone went to day schools and yeshivas. And he was most in nefesh. He married a woman who promised to be Shomer Shabbos. Over the years, she kept pushing him. He's going to move to another neighborhood. It's a neighborhood that there's no from people. And finally he agreed. He's about to give up Shabbos. The week before he moved, he was a man in his late 20s, he had a heart attack. At that time, everyone says, young man, a heart attack, etc. At that time, I remember thinking of this pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes people who most in effort but still can't put up with social pressures. Kadosh Baruch Hu, to preserve their chelek in Olam Haba, make sure that they can't do an avera. Ve'enenu kilocha chosav. Moshe Shelech was tzaddik. Lived 960 years, longer than any human being ever lived. Chazal Tas. Chazal said, if you take a look at the chronology, he died of all these people. Shelech died right at the time of the Mabul. He died. So society was collapsing. He was there. The Musav Tzadik. But people didn't learn from him. And then Lemberg had a grandson, Noach. And Noach was a tzaddik like his grandfather, only skipping over a generation. And then society, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, brought a tremendous shefa bracha. The people were living like animals. You live like animals in the shefa bracha. You go wild in pleasure. You know, and pleasure is the be all and the end all of life. For instance, nowadays, I have every medical study in the world on marijuana, on a long-term basis has such a negative effect on people. But they'll find a few studies differently. And becomes legal all over the place. People, just a mad rush towards more and more pleasure, dangerous pleasures, perverted pleasures. Everything in society collapses. American society has collapsed. There's no choice. I have to bring them up. Means society without a Kodesh Baruch Hu, without absolutes, even though all the complicated philosophies about ethics and this, doesn't sustain itself. Forget about Torah, forget about it. In practical terms, we're being taught a society that does not have a Kodesh Baruch Hu at the center, does not have absolute rules given by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they're unbending and forever. Can't be twisted, can't be turned. In the end, we'll have to self-destruct. Of course, if you look back at history, that's what happened with the Roman Empire. Self-destructed. They had all the money in the world, unlimited pleasure. They destroyed themselves. And it's the world today. It's on a path of self-destruct unless people wake up. Then you'd say, well, it's just pursuit of pleasure. So, but Chazal tell us, when people are so self-involved, chomos means stealing, dishonesty, and sheker. When people just so get drunk by pleasure, when they get drunk by pleasure, when they get so drunk about it, they lose all bounds, and in the end, every part of the social fabric collapses. Kodesh Baruch Hu says there is no choice. This is the Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis is a fundamental part of just how to think about the world, how to evaluate the world. And when you look at the world today, you see the story of Sefer Bereishis. And Sefer Bereishis begins with creating the world, the Yesh Mayayim, and creating a human being, and seeing what happens to a human being. Given incredible power, but given in the nesionos that he has, and given the choices that he makes. V'noach motzochein b'nei Hashem. It doesn't mean that it's impossible to stand up to that social pressure of a world that's on self-destruct. And Chazal make a big point, Rishonim make a big point. It's not a marshal, it's not anything. All the generations of theirs, the Ramban says countless times, to tell us it's an absolute historical document. This is what happened to the world. And people have just recently, when I was in the United States, after Shavuos, a certain man a year ago had told me that his daughter was going through a very big spiritual crisis about taking certain science courses, Torah science. People told me she should read my book. A year later I came and I asked him, so where's your daughter holding in this world? She still has difficulties about the timeline of Neanderthal man. Okay. I smiled. I said, I can talk to her about it. No. She's too... Okay, whatever reason. Chazal talk about human beings as society descended, and human beings lost its element, they began looking like animals themselves. And whatever, and I stopped on my book, 928 pages, it's a long book, put another 1,000. You can go very, very carefully through Chazal, and a clear understanding. As I haven't found anything in all of these things that is a stereo to the Torah Shebal Peh, as explained to us by Chazal. Torah Shebiksav explained by Torah Shebal Peh. You find in Chazal. It's a historical record. This is how the world began. This is how the world unraveled. It was moving towards self-destruct. Kadosh Baruch Hu said the only way to save the world, says Hanoch, he took out early, told Noach, I'm giving you 120 years to make the world better. If you can't, I'll save you, your family. And we start all over again. This is Sefer Bereishis. It's kedai to learn it over and over and over and over. Because how to view the world from a Torah perspective, you find Berach Klal here. Sefer Bereishis. Okay.